Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy John Couch. John on the other side of the glass, but even if he was on this side of the glass, he would welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this Monday. It's August the 10th, 2020, bringing Southern Arizonans together in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. This is getting ridiculous. The hottest July ever, and I would not be at all surprised if it's the hottest August ever. No rain. It's just what else can happen? It's 2020, so we're having this very unusual year. And I've been in town 32 years. I love to garden. I'm trying to keep the plants moist morning and night. It doesn't matter because they're like scorching if they're in the sun. The leaves are just burning, and it's just like, man, we need some rain. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Our Monday political face-off, Jeff Rogers is here today. Tucson attorney and former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party, David Eppheimer, is here. He's the current chair of the Republican Party in Pima County. David, how are you?
I'm great. Good to be here.
And Jeff, always good to see you.
Well, I'd be a lot better if it wasn't 107 already out there.
Oh, I know. It's a mess. The Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. I was by Moe's on Saturday. I'm so proud of what they are doing, and Moe's daughter, Corinne, working on the new website, doing e-commerce. It's a beautifully designed, redesigned website. And I've got a part of it in a small way, because my collection, the Bill Buckmaster collection of fine antique prints and maps, are up for sale on the website. So check it out. It's moesgallery.com, or stop by the gallery at Fort Lowell and Dodge. Jeff, I know you share a passion for college athletics, and David, too. You like basketball mainly, right?
That's correct. Yeah.
But, Jeff, you know I like college football. I don't think we're going to see it this year.
I'm starting to believe that as well. I just heard, as you indicated,
the Big Ten canceled
the season. So yeah, the Pac-12 can't be far behind. The MAC canceled their season over the weekend. So I think we can see the writing on the wall that college athletics are doomed for the fall. I just wonder if we're going to pull it all together well enough to get a basketball season in. We'll really miss that because we've got a pretty decent team coming in, top five recruiting class, and it's an interesting recruiting class that consists of a lot of foreign players, which is unusual for Sean Miller, but he'll usually have one here and there, but we've got, going to have five of them.
And David, you follow Cardinal basketball. That would be the Louisville Cardinals.
That's right, and I also don't think that we're going to see a basketball season. I mean, it's just not in the cards. No pun intended.
What, a startup after the first of the year,
something next year in the spring.
Yeah, so that becomes interesting. Does the football season? Do you do an abbreviated spring thing just to get a little money in, or?
Boy, it's hard to say because then you'd be competing with the NBA
yeah,
and you'd be competing with professional football for the last few months of the season, assuming there's a professional football season. That's assuming a lot. And then you got college basketball. I think, unless things get really catastrophic, I bet we'll at least see a conference season in college basketball, maybe no non-conference schedule.
I mean, here's the way I do it. I would say spring practice as usual, do your spring practice, and let's just start again or restart in the fall. Everybody gets the scholarships get all carried over and just start again. But I think there's going to be that money component.
The revenue stream will be way too interrupted.
Well, and then there's also going to be the logistical issue of you've got all these new recruits coming in 2021. Well, if you let the 2020 players stay on for another year, what happens? Do you make the rosters bigger, or do you start weeding out players who don't want to come back? Or it just begins to be kind of pile up.
Anyway, let's turn now to politics. The Recall Romero rally was held over at Elcon, David, on Saturday, over 200 people gathering who want Mayor Romero recalled. That might be a little hard to do, David.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen. And
I mean, whether they like her or don't like her.
I think everybody that's either a Republican or many, many independents want her removed, want her recalled. But the reality of the situation is it's not doable, especially now. It's election season. The process of recalling and then holding another election that would be likely to turn out the same, it's a futile effort and needs to go away.
You'd have to raise a lot of signatures.
And gathering signatures in the current climate is very difficult. I mean, it's hard to go door to door and hand people, just a pamphlet to advocate for your election, let alone get them to take a pencil and sign something or a pen and then give it back to you. The logistics of that are just impossible.
It's not doable. We need to concentrate on the fall election. It's a big one and put our attention there.
Biggest upset, David Eppenheimer, in the primary, as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think it was Supervisor District 1. Steve Spain, of course, had the endorsement of Allie Miller, but you didn't see him campaigning, but he was knocking on a lot of doors, even though it was quiet. Mm-hmm. He was knocking on a lot of doors and had that endorsement, and it paid off. But I think that was a surprise. Rhonda Pena had the money.
She's a sitting member of the Oro Valley Town Council.
County-wise, I don't think that carried as well as people in Oro Valley and Marana thought. Mm-hmm. And then the other two candidates, Bill Beard and Vic Williams, they campaigned hard.
Yeah.
So I think all that added up to Steve Spain, and he's a good candidate. He's got a great business background in hotel work at the highest levels. He'll make a formidable candidate.
Years ago, Jeff, when I first came to town in 1988, a Democrat would have no chance in the District 1 Pima County supervisorial area.
Well, and that's been true the 41 years that I've been here. And I thought when Nancy Young Wright ran in that position, that was about as good a candidate as we could have possibly ever fielded. Then 10 years ago, in the redistricting, they added more Republicans to that district and moved some of the Democrats into Sharon Bronson's supervisory district. So I thought that had grown into being an impossible place for us to field a candidate. However, if you take a look at the vote totals for this past election, you'll see an almost identical number of people voted in the Republican primary as voted in the Democratic primary. And that was a Republican primary that should have had a lot of interest because you had four decent candidates in there. And so it was very competitive. So if you take a look at that and you take a look at the fact that now the difference between registered Democrats and registered Republicans in that district has gone down to 3,000 votes, I think, We have in Mr. Scott an outstanding candidate, and as we were talking about before, my former executive director for the 4 years I was Democratic Party chair ran his campaign, and he pretty much ran the table with every campaign he ran on last Tuesday, including the somewhat of an upset of Valadez by Hines. That was Adam Kinsey's campaign as well. So, that would probably be the second most interesting upset of the night. But, knowing Adam as I do, I'm not as shocked from that one.
You said 3,000 vote, 3,000 differential between
Republicans and Democrats.
And yeah. Do you have any idea how many independents are in that district?
I do.
Okay.
That's number one. Independents in PNDs are 28,000.
Wow.
And independents are 10,000.
Wow.
So there's a lot of votes, a lot of votes there to capture on both sides.
Yeah, and if Rhonda Pena's forces move over to Rex Scott, that could be very interesting.
It could be, and I think that's where it gets very interesting. There's a lot of anti-Allie Miller sentiment out there, and you know, just like Trump, when you tie yourself to somebody who's that unpopular in a district, it begins to be very difficult for someone. And I think that that's the burden that the Republicans are going to have to carry. If I were him, I would probably run away from Allie Miller as fast as I can now that the primary is over and start embracing some more moderate positions.
But he's the candidate that Allie.
Yeah, I think that characterization you just went through, Jeff, is totally off the mark. Allie Miller was elected and reelected and very popular in that district, way beyond just Republicans, a considerable amount of independent and PND support, that's just an incorrect characterization of the district.
And I think Rhonda was recruited, actually, though, to go up against Allie.
Yes, I think she was. That's what I heard.
It'd be very interesting to see what's going to happen there. We'll continue with our Monday political face-off. The face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Additional support comes from Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning to visit Silver City. So when you're ready, and when New Mexico is ready once again to open for out-of-state visitors, it's only a three-hour drive east of Tucson, so there'll be a lot of planning that you can do and ready to hit the road when the time comes. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. David Eppheimer is here, and Jeff Rogers will be right back.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, off and running on a very hot August afternoon on the Buckmaster Show. We start our program like we do every Monday with our Monday political face-off. David Eppheimer is here sitting in for John Munger today. We always appreciate David pinch hitting. Actually, it's 2 weeks in a row.
It is.
That we got a little thing going here. David coming in.
I'm starting to get comfortable.
Yeah, he's starting to be a regular here. And then seated to David's left is Jeff Rogers, one of our regulars, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff, you were there for two terms?
Yes, I was vice chair for two terms.
What were the years, do you recall?
2009 to 2013 was when I was chair, and then after that I was a vice chair of the state party.
Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge. They've got the gallery looking so good over there. They had a crew that went by and doing some videos for them that will be posted on their newly redesigned website, which is really starting to take shape, moesgallery.com. We were talking about the District 1 Pima County supervisorial race. One of the biggest upsets that I can recall in years was a sitting board member of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, the chairman, Ramon Valdez, who'd been there, I believe, 12 years, upset by Dr. Matt Hines.
So I think he's been there 17 years.
17, really. Okay. Yeah. So in many ways for Hines, this was like the perfect storm. You've got the pandemic going on, and he was all over the place getting his name out there.
He was. He got a lot of free media.
A lot of free media. And so he didn't just win, though. He won big, Jeff Rogers.
He did. He won by a large margin. I still look back at that a little bit, and I wonder if somehow if Valdez wasn't hurt a little bit by his more moderate middle-of-the-road position on the sheriff's department funding of Stone Garden and all of those kind of funds. He was kind of in the middle of that vote and, you know, sort of maybe lost sight of his Democratic base in the voting on that issue. So that might have been one explanation. Another one is, you know, sometimes voters just want to see some change and something new and different. And I think Hines presented that opportunity for them. And you got to realize Hines ran successfully for the legislative district house twice. And then he ran multiple times for Congress and once was the nominee who lost. Yeah. And so he really had a lot of name ID. And he also he's quite the fundraising machine. I mean, he's able to raise a lot of money and has raised a lot of money in his previous campaigns. So I think we're going to see a little bit of a change there on the Board of Supervisors.
Well, we hope so. We hope our candidate, Gabby Saucedo Mercer, beats him.
What do you think, David? Do you think that Huckleberry will stick around for another year, or his contract renewal is coming up in January?
Well, I think that depends, quite frankly, on the outcome of this election. We plan on flipping the Board of Supervisors and getting that 3-2 advantage, and certainly we will retire him if that happens. And we plan on it happening, and we plan on retiring him. I have no way to predict his longevity if the Democrats maintain a majority on the board.
I think it's probably getting close to time for him to move on and to retire and make room for someone new. And I think you'll probably see some movement by him on his own to do that. That would be my best guess as to what will happen. And I will tell you, I would bet my house that the Democrats will have at least a 3-2 advantage in the supervisor's race. And if we can pick up District 1, we'll have something. And that's a possibility, I think. I would have never guessed that before. But then
you'd have a 4-1 majority.
Yeah. Yes. So. As Jeff and I always do, we disagree. And we will be putting a great effort into flipping that 3-2.
Well, we have an interesting race, not only the District 1, and by the way, I'm going to have both the candidates with me in studio. It's not really a debate. It's more like, you know, a discussion with Steve Spain and Rex Scott. That one's going to be on October the 9th, a Friday, and then the previous Friday, we'll have the sheriff's race. That's going to be a very interesting race, that rematch.
It is going to be an interesting race, and I think the Sheriff's Deputies Association and the Sheriff's Department employees are not very happy with Napier. And so, you know, that's a disadvantage for him. And somehow last time around, these scandals from the Sheriff's Department got hung around the neck, wrongfully, I might add, of who was then Sheriff Nanos. None of that actually occurred on his watch. The investigations occurred on his watch, but the actual incidents that led to the problems occurred before he became the sheriff there. So he wasn't really responsible for all of the problems that surfaced there in the Sheriff's Department on his watch. And so once I think people understand that, they're going to wrap their arms around him, and I hope to see him elected sheriff again. I personally know him well, and I think he started at the Sheriff's Department a year after I left the Sheriff's Department.
What were you doing at the Sheriff's Department?
I started off there as a corrections officer.
What?
Yes, and then went on to deputy training, yeah.
You actually wore a badge?
Yes, I did. It was a long time ago.
Whoa.
Late 70s.
Wow. Okay. So what do you think, David? You think Napier can pull that out?
Pull it out? I think it'll be a walkover.
Wow.
You know, he beat Nanos last time.
Did he beat him? Do you recall the numbers on that?
No, I don't. Okay. Recall the numbers, but it was substantial. I mean, it wasn't like a nail biter.
Okay.
I think, Napier is so far superior to Nanos in background and training and education and his national presence and his grasp of the job. He's just the superior candidate, and I think the voters will recognize that. They did the last time around, and they'll reelect Napier handily. It'll be a walkover. Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be a close race, and the one thing Napier does that McSally does as well is they never miss an opportunity to embrace Donald Trump, and I think people are, you know, if I'm advising a Republican candidate, which I'm not, but I'm going to tell them, distance yourself. You've already won your primary. You don't need to be cozying up to that crowd. What you need to do is move a little to the middle and establish yourself as a viable candidate that is not wrapped around Trump lock, stock, and barrel.
Well, what I'll say to that is that we concentrate here in Pima GOP on our local candidates. We're the Pima County Republican Party. We're not the RNC. We're not the state AZGOP. I'm not the chairman of the state party or the national party. I'm the chairman of the county party, and we concentrate on our county candidates. So we will be concentrating on these candidates and their campaigns against their lesser Democratic opponents, and we can go there. That our candidate rundown is so far superior in this race to the Democrats that are put up. It's actually startling, the experience and the quality difference between a lot of these candidates, between the Republicans and the Democrats.
So you think you have one of the finest crops of Republican candidates that has been mustered here in many years?
In Pima County, yes.
Wow.
Absolutely. I mean, I can go down, you know, Ford against Bickle, Treasurer Ford against Brian Bickle.
Beth Ford's been there, I think, forever. And it's got
a lot of name recognition. Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that she's got name recognition. She's done a fantastic job. in investing that money and keeping the county on good financial footing. And Bickle's just a hack. He's tried to run a zillion times, and he's done various jobs within the Democrat Party, and he's totally woefully unqualified for that job. The same thing goes for our candidate Betty White against Cesaris Kelly. I mean, what's she going to do? Learn on the job? She's never done anything that would qualify her to be a county recorder. Anything. She's just an activist. I doubt if she can balance a checkbook. I mean, you got somebody there that's totally woefully unprepared to be a county recorder, and Betty White has done the elections work for the Republican Party for 12 years.
And then David, I know you say that you are the Pima party, but in a presidential election, it's going to matter a lot, don't you think, about how the vote goes?
Well, we have to deliver as many votes for Donald Trump as we can out of Pima County.
Well, I think that Biden's going to have coattails, and I think it's going to have huge coattails in Pima County and all of Arizona at large. And as to the Cazares-Kelly matchup there, I've known Benny White for a really long time, and I like him personally a great deal, and he's a smart guy, but he's very partisan. And I one of the things we've been very lucky with the recorder we've had for the past 28 years is that she's ostensibly a Democrat, but she doesn't bring partisan politics to that office, and I believe Benny White will. I've dealt with Benny a lot in election integrity matters. We were on the Election Integrity Commission together. I've done vote count, including the post-election random tabulation of votes that we do to verify the results, and I can tell you, Benny's very partisan.
Well,
and I would like to see
just a few seconds here, guys.
Less partisanship in that office as far as that goes.
Well, I would say that I know Benny very, very well, too. And yes, he's a Republican, but he is dedicated to honest and fair elections.
All right.
Absolutely dedicated.
David Eppigheimer, thanks, David, for coming in for two straight weeks. Appreciate it. Jeff, always
good
to see you.
My
pleasure. Thank you. My
pleasure.
Monday
Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by our friends at Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Coming up next, our Better Business Bureau monthly scam alert. A lot of COVID-19 related scams now are out there. So, lots of scams happening. We'll tell you about it right after this.
CBS News update. Schools are open in much of the country, including Georgia. Governor Brian Kemp says there will be no mask mandate, despite one opening that went bad in Dallas, northwest of Atlanta. More from CBS's Chris Martinez.
North Paulding High School in Georgia is closed today and tomorrow for cleaning after 9 positive coronavirus cases were reported in the first week of school. The outbreak was confirmed after students were seen in a crowded hallway, many not wearing masks.
They kind of sent us into school and used us as guinea pigs to see what would happen later on.
New York City schools don't reopen for a few more weeks. Mayor Bill de Blasio says they're taking a cautious approach.
If a classroom is not ready, that classroom simply will not be used. So I want to affirm that to all parents. If any classroom we feel is not fit, we simply won't use it. We'll just segment it off and keep going until we do feel it's ready to go.
CBS News Update. I'm Peter King.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over 5 buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show Liveline is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Time for our monthly interview segment featuring the monthly scam alert presented by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We welcome once again Pam Krim, CEO of the BBB. Pam, how are you?
I'm great, thank you. How are you doing?
Well, just doing a rain dance here, hoping I'd see at least a few clouds in the sky.
I know. Every day, you see a few clouds and you think, this be it?
And no,
it's not.
No, there's nothing there.
I feel the pain that we all
boy.
Do.
I tell you, you know, these scammers, you never know what they are up to next. We are hearing about this weird one, about something, these are seed packets that being sent to people in the United States from China. What is this all about?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And we actually, in Yuma and Tucson and Douglas, have all received them. In fact, I think I have an employee whose mother received them. Huh. And after further investigating it, a couple things people should know is, number one, the package will be mislabeled. It will say something like a doorknob or a hardware piece or a mirror or whatever. And then you open it up and it's these seeds in an individual package. And they've done testing on the seeds. And some of them are, they're not consistent. So some of them are like hibiscus, some of them are lavender, some of them are mustard, some of them are rosemary. It's kind of crazy. So the biggest thing that we're asking people to do is don't open it up. Don't plant it. And I saw a piece from the University of Arizona today on this too. Simply contact your Department of Agriculture, but don't open it. Don't plant it. For some crazy reason, what if it has some sort of contamination?
Yeah.
And we don't want that in our soil or
our water. That's very weird.
It's very weird. You know, some people also are saying that it's like a brushing technique where they will, people will, or companies will send out information or products to you, and then they'll want you to do Google reviews. So they try to do that to boost their reviews. But it, you know, it's a crazy world out there right now. And the most important thing is, you know, if you do get these seeds, call the Department of Agriculture right away.
If you do get an unsolicited package, that raises all sorts of red flags, Pam.
It certainly does for all of us at the BBB, because we take so many calls on these types of things, is that know if somebody's sending you something, they know your name and they know your address. And that's really the beginning information that people will need in order to build a profile on you.
You know, scammers know that we're all, everybody's got this anxiety level right now, and they're taking advantage of it big time. They know how to really kind of find out what, where to really pull somebody's wires.
Right. And a lot of it right now, especially at this time in the month, is that trying to make your house payment.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to change your mortgage, trying to get relief from your mortgage. So, you know, the crazy thing is these people, these scam artists are reaching out and getting all of your personal information and trying to get you to sign over your mortgage or your deed to them. And in fact, please, just if you're looking for relief, which I totally understand in these difficult times, contact your loan company or your bank directly. Don't take unsolicited emails or phone calls from others that are saying they're financial wizards. And of course, you can always look up these companies at BBB.org to see if they're accredited or to see what we know about them as well. But really, go to your specific bank or your loan finance company that you're working with and talk to them about how they can help you at this time.
Pam, are there any scams that are directly involved with coronavirus testing?
Oh, yeah. Some of them are saying crazy things like it's mandatory, right? Well, there's no mandatory testing.
Mandatory to get a test or something. And so they want your information?
Well, they want your information. They want you to prepay.
Oh.
So you make sure you get your mandatory testing, right? So they kind of, as always, all scammers try to create a very false sense of urgency that makes you most likely perhaps make a bad decision. And that's what they're trying to do. They kind of put that anxiety, that panic, so that you would go ahead with it. They're also trying to sell different products and testing. You can't do that. You need to go to a testing center. You need to go to your doctor's office, and you need to get your results from that testing center or your doctor's office. You don't get that over the telephone. And when you get a telephone call from someone like that, trust me, they're soliciting either your own private personal information to do, quote, a verification or some sort of prepayment or, oh, gee, we didn't charge you the right amount kind of conversation.
Wow, and they're calling victims of the coronavirus outright.
Yeah. They have no boundaries.
These
so
people.
You know how we're always taught to have boundaries?
Sure.
Scammers have no boundaries.
What about the BBB and any new programs to help with businesses during these hard times?
Well, we constantly are updating our website, which is bbb.org/small-business. And especially for business owners, there's a plethora of information that can help you understand what's happening and help you evaluate when making decisions about opening and how to open and how to work with customers or people that come into your location. So there's a lot of information about that, and also all of the different loans and et cetera. We've just developed a partnership with Indeed that we're very excited about, because this allows actually a discount or a $200 credit by going to Indeed and looking up the code that you need that's on our website. Can give you all the directions on how to do it. But it is a $200 credit, which I don't know if many businesses out there probably have used Indeed. I know we use it quite actively at the Better Business Bureau and have been very pleased with it in finding good people in our community to become great employees. So I encourage you, any business owner, to take a look at our website at bbb.org/small-business, and you will see about our Indeed relationship, which does impact your bottom line $200.
Yeah, and people are starting to rehire, thank goodness, and so they are looking for good people. So this would be a step in the right direction.
Absolutely, absolutely.
You know, going back to scams, I want to mention the scam tracker. You have that at bbb.org. This is a very, very good service. So it's bbb.org/scam tracker.
Yes, and it's a great area. It's the most popular area in the United States. Couple of things. I would ask you, if for some reason you unfortunately have come across a scam artist and you would like to report that, there's a place to report that. If you also are looking to find out what's happening, it zeroes right down to your zip code.
Does it really?
Yeah. So it's very informative. And you can also, let's say your parents live in Florida and you want to check out because your mom or dad called you and said someone was trying to scam you, you can look and see what was happening in their zip code too.
Mm.
So it works in a lot of different ways, but there's a ton of information there.
A lot of people during this time are calling the BBB because they've been at home, and home repairs and home remodeling, as you know, Pam, are off the charts. People are really wanting to kind of update their space. Many people are working from home, and they're saying, hey, you know, it's one thing to live here and then go to an office every day, but now I'm here kind of 24/7. I want to upgrade my space.
Right. It's like X-ray vision on, gee, I should have done that project.
Yeah.
Or that window. I have a window that needs to be fixed right now.
Yeah,
and I know trying to find the window people I know are really busy in town,
yeah,
which I'm really pleased for them.
Sure.
But yes, people are very much, our traffic on our website is up over 40%.
Oh,
and that means
goodness,
people coming to our website to look at the businesses that are listed. And we have accredited businesses and non-accredited businesses because our mission is to serve Southern Arizona business community and consumers. So we try to be as inclusive as we can. But all of that traffic and complaints and reviews, they're all up 38%. Our
wow,
team is working their tails off right now, and it's a pleasure to do whatever we can to kind of manage the trust level in Southern Arizona. That's what we attempt to do every day.
If there was ever a time to have that word trust involved with your business, now is the time. And that's
what we're being told.
That's it. BBB, Better Business Bureau.org, and all sorts of great information there. Pam Krim, always a pleasure. Thank you. Stay safe, Pam.
Thanks. You too, Bill.
All right. It's the Buckmaster Show continuing on in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We'll get an update from the Pima Animal Care folks about what's going on over there. A lot of people have taken this opportunity, which is wonderful, to adopt an animal. They're home a lot more, and they've really, really stepped up locally in adopting that companion animal, companion for life. We'll talk about that after this. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by Green Things. And all of my plants really could use some water right now. All of my plants, which I have purchased from Green Things, are hanging in there. I'll tell you, all the rose plants, but even roses, when you have that 110 degrees day after day or 107, you know, after 105, what's the difference, right? That sun pounding down, they need water, but they also need to get some shade or something, some cloud cover, but it's been pretty intense. Anyway, Green Things is your go-to place for all of your gardening needs. I've been going there for many, many years, and they do such a beautiful job on their 13 acres, not only with what with the plants, but Zocalo Village, all that wonderful material, much of it handmade from Mexico and Latin America, all available for you at Zocalo Village, which is part of the Green Things complex at 3384 East River Road. A couple of websites for you, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. All right, Kristen Hassan-Auerbach is the Director of Animal Services at Pima Animal Care Center, which takes in more than 18,000 pets annually and now has a 92% save rate. Kristen joins us now on the live line, the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Kristen, how are you doing?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks so much for having me.
So many people have stepped up during this very hard time and made the adoption. What is the situation? What's the housing look like right now at PACC?
Things are still looking pretty good at PAC. We are taking care of the highest number of animals ever in the community and in foster homes. So we are doing everything we can to keep pets in homes. Right now, people are struggling financially. They are in tough situations. They need basic things like food, basic medical care, and we're getting all of that to them and helping them keep their animals even during this difficult time.
Yeah, because people, of course, are home a lot more, and they need money in many cases to actually, not only for their family, but part of their extended family, for their pets. Is there any way to help these particular people get food for the pets?
Yeah, you know, day to day, it's hard for a lot of us to imagine what it's like to not be able to provide that next meal for your pet. But reality is a lot of people are choosing between feeding themselves and feeding their pets. So over the last three and a half months, PAC's given away about 110,000 meals to owned pets in the community. All of that is done through donations. So it's none of our operating dollars. It's all thanks to organizations and individuals. It's really easy to donate food. One bag goes a long way because we split it up and we give people enough food for about a week. And you can just bring those to pack. We've moved the donation bins right out front. So you can drop off any bags of dog or cat food we will take. And as always, donations to the Friends of PAC help support this as well.
I understand you got a grant from the Banfield Foundation and South Fork Foundation to kickstart a program that really will help pet parents pay for non-surgical minor medical issues like ear infections, allergies, and the like. That really helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, PAC has never been able to do anything like this, and getting these grants made it possible for us to pilot this program. And what we do is we just provide routine but really necessary medical care for people who've been impacted by COVID, and that can be financially, through housing loss, or through actually getting sick. So we're able to provide those services. People can access them by calling our pet support center. And we're also providing boarding vouchers for people, and this one's becoming increasingly important. As people do face eviction moving forward, we're able to provide short-term boarding so that they can get safe, get into new housing, and their pets cannot have to be an added stressor on them.
What about your volunteers? People have been reluctant, many people, to go outside and help do the walking of the animals at PAC. Do you have enough volunteers, or could you use some more, and how do people get involved?
So right now we're struggling a little bit to onboard new volunteers. It's been with COVID, we've really had to modify all of our operations and change the way we do things. So we're slowly starting to onboard new volunteers, but we've been slow to do that because we wanted to make sure we could keep everyone safe doing it. Right now we have a lot of people waiting to volunteer, and what we really need most are fosters and donations to support these programs. So if people want to volunteer, the foster programs are an immediate way you can help. And you can take a pet for a couple of days, all the way through a couple of months to get it rehabilitated or help raise a mom while she has her puppies.
How do you know which pet to foster? Do you kind of guide that, or how does that work if someone wants to step up right now and they'd like to get involved? How do they do it?
It's actually really easy. You just go online and all the instructions are there. And what we do is we have people fill out a basic form so that we learn a little bit about them. And once we've learned about them what kind of pet they're looking for, then we actually help do the matchmaking and contact them when we have a pet that matches the description of what they're looking for.
Animal hoarding is always a problem. You've had a few cases recently, haven't you?
Yes. We have. And in this weather, hoarding is so dangerous so quickly. We had a case just a couple of weeks ago now of about 30 to 40 cats, but they were in a trailer with no air conditioning, and they were really at a risk of dying. They were all open mouth breathing. It was over 100 degrees in the trailer. And had our officers not gotten there, they would have not survived. And luckily, they all except one did survive, and they're getting treated, and they're on their way to adoption and foster homes.
So how are you doing with the shelter? There was a point there where you'd pretty much managed to get most of the animals to a foster program. What percentage do you think you still have that need to go to foster?
Kind of depends on the day. I mean, if we get 40 cats in one day, we need to quickly act to get many new fosters. On our average day, we're taking in 30. This year so far, we've taken in an average of 36 new animals a day. So even though it's less than usual, it's still a pretty high number. So we're always looking for new fosters. But what we need the most are fosters for those medium and large dogs, which not everybody wants to take a medium and large dog home, and for adult cats. Adult cats tend to sit in the shelter a long time. For the kittens and puppies, we have a pretty wide availability of fosters for them, but we really want people to keep signing up because we're worried about the financial impacts, and increasingly we're watching sort of, are people surrendering because they don't have jobs and can't feed their animals? Or are they surrendering because they're losing housing? And we think that that situation is likely starting to worsen.
Unfortunately, we have lost some animals recently in the people who have been keeping animals outside without water or shelter. This is very distressing to me, and I think is distressing to pretty much everybody in the community. This is really unacceptable, Kristen.
There is nothing more frustrated, and we really, you know, at PAC, we know that the vast majority of people are trying to help animals, and we give them the benefit of the doubt. But this situation has been troubling. It's troubling to everyone that people leave their animals outside with no water and no or inadequate shelter, and animals will quickly die. Dogs in this weather who cannot get into shade and access water, they do pass away, and we've had numerous cases where this has happened. And it's just because, you know, a water bowl can get tipped over easily. It's not enough to leave one bowl of water out. You really need to have a plan that makes sure your dog can access fresh, clean water at all times.
All right. Before we go, give our listeners some information about how they can get involved with the Pet Foster Program. What's kind of the information clearinghouse?
Yeah, so the easiest thing to do is just go to the internet and hit Pima Animal Care Center, you will find us right away. And all the information about fostering, volunteering, and donating is right on that page. And as always, your donations of food and funds to the Friends of PAC make all the difference. All these programs we're doing to keep pets in their homes and in the community, they are all funded through grants and donations. This community is making all of that possible. So as always, that is really helpful and helps us just save so many lives without animals having to be separated from their families.
All right, Kristen, thank you very much. You're doing a great job as director of Pima Animal Care Center. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Bill.
Kristen Hassan-Auerbach, Director of Pima Animal Care Center, with our update on what's going on at PAC. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, the Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On behalf of John Couch, engineering and producing the show, doing a great job as usual, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Try to stay cool. Have a great afternoon, everybody.